Okay, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to Tanya Wide Open Shkoyach. We're in chapter 6 still, so I just thought, in our, as is our minog, just to mention a couple of things from the parsha that are very, very important, is that when Paro is chasing us, Rashi says that he was belev echad ke'ish echad, yeah? In Parshas Yisro, when it talks about us, yeah, you saw this in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, yeah. So I only saw after. So it says Keish Echad Belev Echad, yeah, the opposite way round. So you can say again, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said like this, but the achdus of the mitzrim was predicated on their sina for the yidden. So because they had a lev echad for their hatred of the yidden, yeah, they were ka'ish echad. That's called an avatalu b'dach. Yeah? It's a talu davar, which means if you take the davar away, so it's not really an achdus. It's a temporary achdus. It's exactly, once that desire is gone, that goes away, then that dissolves. Whereas by the yidden, it's the opposite. It was ke'ish echad belev echad. What was the chiddush? The chiddush was belev echad, meaning we were all actually, for once in our lives, for once in our history, we were mamash miskaven in our hearts. We're ishechad. We're just always ishechad. That's our mitzvah. We're ishechad. Yeah, everyone knows that we're all chalakim of the same goof. Yeah, everyone knows you're an eye, he's a heart, she's a brain, he's a toenail. Yeah, everyone's aware of that. Yeah, so that's the ishechad. But in this situation, we were belev echad. We were mamash miskaven. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo revealed himself. And at that point, everything just falls away, and all the, you're going that direction, you're going that direction. It all just goes like that. So it's just an interesting thing to note as well. But we talk about this idea of Yisrael being one big neshama, yeah? Which everyone understands, like you're the hand, I'm the foot, he's the knee, yeah, everyone, you know? That also exists through Zman as well. Meaning that we're one throughout time, not just throughout place. Meaning, looking back at the previous generations as something that was, is like looking back at your childhood as something that was. That's not a very helpful way of looking at your childhood. Isn't something that was, yeah? Your childhood is, the only important parts of your childhood is what's with you right now. Everything else is just, didn't even matter. If it's not here with you right now, then it doesn't exist. You understand? Meaning that...
Is it in a sense all with you really though?
I mean, a lot, I'm sure not, I don't know, but maybe. But definitely the parts that you're aware of, that's the past that matters. The past that matters is what's right now, because there isn't anything other than right now. That's all there is. So if it's not here in the now, then why are you fretting over it? What's going on? Or you're trying to bring it into the now with your thinking and with all your craziness, yeah, which is what we do all the time. But that's the same with Am Yisrael as well. So it's like this idea of comparing ourselves to previous generations and like looking at ourselves as we are now a mature nation. We're like a mensch who's gone through maturity. Do we know as much as the others, or do we? Da, da, da? Were we as pure? Are we as pure as the other? It's very fragmented. It's a very fragmented way of seeing reality. Yeah, we are as a nation. We are the accumulation of all of the tzaddikim and all of the Rishayim as well, from Adam and Rishon until where we are right now, through Avram, through Yitzhak, through Yankov, through all of the Evet, that's with us right now. So we're not just one in Bechinas Makom, which would be Guf, we're also one Bechinas Zman as well. That's a very important thing to be aware of. And then another quick Chiddush Azokhati that's very helpful. It gives us a little insight into what is Bechira Chofshis. So this is a whole big thing. I don't think we've spoken about it. It's a very big idiot that really we need to discuss. But this is just a nice way. There's a rush in the Parsha when he's describing our situation when we're coming out of Mitzrayim. And he said that we had the Mitzrayim behind us, we had the Yam in front of us. So he said it was like a father with his child who had listim in front of him. And when the listim, when the bandits came, he put the kid behind him. Yeah, he was talking about the Anan and the Aish, yeah? The Anan and the Aish. When the listim came in front of him, he put the child behind him. Yeah? And then when the wolves came from behind him, he put the child in front of him. And then when there was the listim in front of him and the wolves behind him, he picked the child up into his arms. It's a famous Rashi, yeah? But it's a big, it's weird. Why is it weird? Because we had the Mitzrayim behind us, yeah? They're Bali Bechira. But Rashi said it was the wolves behind us, they're not Bali Bechira. We had the Yam in front of us, which isn't a Bal Bechira, and he said that the listim in front of us, they're Bali Bechira. He flipped it round. So the answers from the Parsha that really the Mitzrayim weren't Bali Bechira, why? Because he was Mechabed their lave. So the Mitzrayim became not Bali Bechira. So Ma'ela, now you have to understand that the Yam became a Bal Bechira. Now we learn what Bechira is. What's Bechira? No. Having your Teva gone against. You don't do it. You don't do Bechira. Bechira Chofshis is a nace, mamash. It's mamash a nace. It's not that you chose to go beyond your nature. It's Hashem chose to go beyond your nature. And you didn't resist. It is the opposite of what we understand as Bechira, yeah. Bechira is not... It makes it miraculous. It makes it penedic. Otherwise, it's just like a cheshbon.
Well, Hashem chose to go beyond our nature because our nature would be that we don't have
not our nature, the nature of the sin.
See the split.
Right, but I'm saying, how does that apply to us? We're just talking about what is Bechira.
So I'll tell you. I'll give you my paradigmatical example of Bechira Chofshis. So, okay, now we're here already, we'll discuss it, because it doesn't get much more important than this, and it's an amazing topic. Is that, no intention to talk about this, but fine. That, give me a favor, you have 100 shekel bill?
No, otherwise I would have given it to you before.
You have 100
shekel?
No, I want another one. You have another one?
A new shekel?
So now, choose one.
Either one. That one's ripped, so I'll
take that. Oh, it's not Hofschitz anymore.
Yeah, that's not Hofschitz. That was yours.
Okay.
You want that one back?
Sure.
Save it. The way that worked, that made a difference, because this is a very important idea, yeah? If someone offers you two things that are exactly the same, yeah, then you're free. You work that out quickly, yeah? And what happened was your mind actually disconnected, it ended. When someone offers you the two same things to choose, all your mind is in. That's why you saw the rip immediately, because your mind is just like a camera trying to focus. It's just how can I differentiate between them? They're the same thing otherwise. The mind needs a difference to make a decision, yeah? So you found the rip, and now decision was made, finished, yeah? So that was unfortunate. There was a rip there, otherwise it would have been a little bit better demonstration. But the point is still clear, yeah? So when you have a $100 bill and a $100 bill, yeah, there's no choice. Meaning, like, there's no choice.
The result is the same, essentially.
What about if I offer you?
There are no choices.
Well,
when you go to Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors, they're all the same flavor. There aren't 31 choices. All 31 are the same thing.
Let me say a different scenario, yeah? I have a $100 bill, and I have a $10 bill. And I say to you, no strings attached, choose one. Yeah? Whatever one you take, you keep, and I keep the other one. Yeah, $100 bill, $10 bill. You have Bechira?
Not really.
You don't have Bechira. You're compelled by your mind to take the $100 bill. Yeah, 50, 100, same thing.
Well, if the life situation was different and I had billions of dollars and you had none, then I would take the $10 bill because it would make
but it's still okay,
it's always a test. So we could say also, like, what about if I were to offer you $90, a 50 and two 20s, and 100 single dollar bills? Now that's already a cheshbon. I would probably take the three bills as opposed to 100 single dollar bills, yeah? Yeah, it's annoying. That's a cheshbon. So everything's a cheshbon. So, like, example, if you're choosing between, you enjoy chocolate yogurt, yeah? And you don't like vanilla yogurt. And you're trying to lose weight. So you've got a chocolate low-fat yogurt or a vanilla high-fat yogurt. Obviously, you go with the chocolate low-fat. But if you mix it up and that's the chocolate high fat, the vanilla low fat, you don't mind the vanilla. Now we've got a cheshbon, we're making a cheshbon, yeah? None of this is called Bechira Chofshis in Chabad Sfar. This is all called Bechira. Again, different tzaddikim have different words for stuff, yeah? But this is Alder Chabad, the way I understand it, that I receive from my own. That if it's a cheshbon, that's not Bechira Chofshis. That doesn't differentiate you from all the Umos HaOlam. Yeah, all the Umas Olam have Bechira, and even animals have a level of Bechira. They can choose to eat that carcass or to eat that carcass. They can make a very rudimentary cheshbon.
It's instinctual, but
it's still like a lion will, if a rat comes in front of him, yeah, he'll probably grab it with a paw and eat it, yeah?
Not by choice.
But he wouldn't chase it. Because he knows that he'd lose more calories chasing the rat than he would eating the rat. Yeah? So either way, however it's made, there is some kind of cheshbon going on, even if it's some kind of instinctual cheshbon, but there's some kind of cheshbon being made somewhere.
But a cheshbon is antithetical to Bechira Chofshis.
Exactly. Bechira Chofshis is miraculous. It's not of this world. It's only Shach Yisrael. It's only Shach Yisrael. So now...
And to make the right choice between two things that seem exactly the same.
It's no right choice.
Wait. We'll explain. So, this was my experience of Bechira Chofshis. I said this to dozens and dozens of times, yeah? This was the day that I made tshuva. I thought it was a different day when I flew to Israel, yeah? And then it was the next Shabbos I remember I kept, and the Shabbos before that I was Mahalel, so that was there. But it wasn't. It was a few months before that when I was in Manchester town. I had my portfolio of pictures that I'd taken from India that I'd printed out, and I was trying to get like some kind of exhibit in a gallery or something. I'd been walking around the whole, and no kesha to Yiddishkeit bichlal, yeah. And I had I'd been walking around the whole day. Hadn't eaten anything, it was cold, it was wet, it was like 6 o'clock, it was dark, it was Manchester as well, which makes it even worse. And I went into a 7-Eleven and I picked up a chicken sandwich, tray of chicken sandwich, and as I'm walking to the checkout, it was the weirdest thing. I was like, Diamond, get a tuna sandwich. Like, what are you talking about? You don't even like tuna. Chicken is the same price, this is much more. And I remember there in 7-Eleven in Manchester, 6 p.m. whatever day it was, I was just like marvelling at myself at that fact that it had even popped into my mind to not get the chicken sandwich, to get the tuna sandwich. And I put the chicken sandwich back and I took the tuna sandwich and walked to the checkout, like saying to myself, what are you doing? It was a kashrus decision. It was a decision from kashrus. I went back to my, you know, to my chafer lifestyle afterwards as well.
The reason was because this was more kosher.
There was no reason. As in, that was in my mind that there was, that it was kosher, but that had never been a chalak of my decision process until then, in any way, shape, or form. Nothing. So just, it was bizarre. That was Bechira Chofshis. So Bechira Chofshis is what I tried to do with you when I show you the $200 bills, yeah? And usually what happens when I've done this in the past is the person's brain fries out and they're like looking at you like, no one's ever done this to me in my life. And as they're like fried out, you look at that one and go, this one was yours. And they instinctively go and take the one that was theirs. That's an amazing explanation of what Bechira Chofshis is. Bechira Chofshis is that you see yourself in the other. It's not the other that's making you choose it. It's you. It's from you. It's not from the other. It's from you, not from the other. Meaning, I come to you with the 200 shekel bills. No, there's no pull to one.
Because that was mine.
That was yours. So it means it's nothing to do with the bill. It's to do with you. You with me? So Bechir Chofshis only exists in regards to mitzvahs. Only exists in regards to Torah mitzvahs. And it's the experience. It's not an experience. It's the, I don't know what you call it. It's the maaser. It's not something you experience. It's something you don't experience. It's your neshama choosing itself. It's your neshama seeing itself in that chelik of the Torah. And therefore it chooses the mitzvah, it chooses not to do the aveira. Not because of some kind of cheshbon, not because of Gan Eden or Gehenna, not because of...
It's the tia towards it.
It's not chofshis anymore.
That's the point. This is the whole point. Bechir chofshis is completely not free. It means it's free. It doesn't mean that you're free to choose what you want. It means it's free of being... being influenced by the thing itself.
Or by your nature to choose one
no,
or the
this
other.
No, this is the point. It's your nature. Bechir chofshis is your godly nature shining through. It's not your Nefesh HaBahamas making
what?
A decision.
Shining through what?
Shining through the Nefesh HaBahamas.
What you've been it's taught.
Either way, or accustomed to, or habituated to, whatever it is. It's your Nefesh HaBahamas being pushed to the side and the Neshama just doing its thing.
So let's say one chooses the Avera.
Just like Kriyas Yamsuf.
Let's say someone chooses the Avera over the Mitzvah.
They didn't. Then Bechir Chofshis wasn't activated. Bechir Chofshis is only when you choose the mitzvah. That's Bechir Chofshis. Otherwise, it was a vital concealment of reality. There's no word for that. You're not exercising your Bechir Chofshis when they're doing. It's gone back to the Nefesh HaBahamas. So the Nefesh HaBahamas has a cheshbon. It's always a cheshbon by the Nefesh HaBahamas. He makes a cheshbon. He's an intelligent sometimes. Yeah. He has access to intelligence, put it that way. He has access to intelligence.
According to that logic, animals wouldn't have Bechir HaChofshis.
Yeah.
Even the Umos HaOilim don't have Bechir HaChofshis. Even the Umos HaOilim don't have Bechir HaChofshis.
Is it all stemming from the fact that Hashem shows us that Matan Torah Bechir HaChofshis, that's what gives us the ability?
It's that we are, so that's not that. His choosing us at Matan Torah was his Bechir HaChofshis.
Right.
Why did he choose Am Yisrael? It wasn't because we're the greatest or the best. You know why he chose us? Because that was him. He chose himself. He chose his Shekhinah. That was the.
But didn't he choose the Gufa?
So that was what got chosen. That's what got chosen. But because it's like the $100 bill, because it was himself in it that he chose, so the bill comes with it, so the Gufa comes with it. That gets sucked into the cheshbon, so to speak. So it's not that he made a.
Because we were better.
No, of course
we
not. It was because we are godly. It's because we have that chelik of him. He saw that in us. So just like when you see the chelik of you in the 100 shekel bill, the chomer of the 100 shekel bill comes with you. That's what got chosen. The goof got chosen. You understand? You're not choosing yourself. It's just because you see yourself in the 100 shekel bill, you take the bill. That was the same Indian that he saw himself in Am Yisrael. So by choosing us, the goof got sucked in, and the goof became Yivcha. The goof became chosen. You know what I mean? That's Bechir Chofshis. It's an amazing idea. So this is exactly what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was the Kriyas Yamsuf. Should we go there as well?
You have to ask.
Jump in.
Okay, let's go there, because it's also very... I was talking about this last night. You missed this, so I'm going to say what I said last night, because it's in my mind, and it's Kriyas Yamsuf as well, and it's all very important. So everything has what's called Chiyas and Kiyum. Everything has a Chiyas and it has a Kiyum. Okay? The Chiyas of water... Its life is described as what makes water different to fire, different to stones, different to air. What makes water different to fire? is that it flows down, it's wet, it's cold, it levels out, it's malleable, fire is hot, it goes up, it's whatever colour it is, v'chule. The particulars of the thing, yeah, the particulars of whatever it is, that's its chias. So what makes you different from everybody else, you could call that your chias. Yeah, what makes you different from animals is the bichlau, it's our intellect, yeah, let's say. Yeah, what makes animals different to trees and to vegetables is emotion or movement. Yeah, what makes trees different to rocks is that they grow and they reproduce, yeah? Those are chalakim of their chias. But then you've got this tree that's different to that tree, and you've got in within the realms, it's holographic, you with me? So you've got the actual kingdom itself that's different, that's the Dinon Chiyos. And then within the kingdom itself, so within, amongst the Yidden, you've got very high Yidden, you've got very low Yidden. You've got that's also a Dinon Chiyos. That's all Chiyos. Yeah, what's Kiyam? Existence. Kiyam is, well, let me ask you a question. Do you exist? Who exists more, you or the table?
Exist. I mean, just being.
Existing. Is the fact that you are. Not the fact that you are that, but the fact that you are. The table is, and you are.
They're both the same, aren't they?
Exactly. Kiyam is shaveh. If it exists, it has kiyam.
Is domain considered kiyam or chiyas?
No, what do you mean?
An inanimate object. Is that
yeah. Everything has chiyas and kiyam. Everything.
If it exists, it has chias.
Doesn't mean that it's like walking around and dancing and stuff, yeah. But a rock has chias in that a rock is this. Rock. It's solid. It falls down. It's round. It's you can build with it, etc. That's its chias, yeah. But the fact that a rock exists is just like I exist. Nothing exists more than anything else. If it exists, it exists. It's just binary. You exist or you don't exist. So now just, this is an amazing idea, is the, what's the difference between a Ford Fiesta and a Bugatti Chiron?
Ego.
$5 million.
What?
$5 million.
$7.5 million.
Exists. Everything's the same on level of existence.
So the chias within the chias.
Do you think you could summarize all of the differences between those two cars in
the
one word?
The quality, the look,
societal,
art,
ego.
What?
The person's relationship to his ego.
That's your word. But the actual Matthias of the car.
Yeah,
you've got this $8 million car, whether it's $5 million car, you've got a $10,000 car.
Money's the difference.
Quality.
Money's the only difference?
No.
Is there one word that we could use to describe all
quality.
Of those differences?
Quality.
Quality, what?
Quality.
Luxury.
Quality, luxury.
Better.
Power.
Better. Power. So the word that you can really use to describe the difference that covers everything is material.
Material is the scenario.
What it's made from.
Point of separation.
Tell me, what's more of a car? A Ford Fiesta or a Bugatti Chiron?
Oh, what do you mean?
They're both as much a car as each other.
The diamond and a lab grown diamond, they're the same material. They just came.
A diamond and a lab grown diamond?
Aren't they the same material?
Stay with this example. Stay with this example.
Material.
Yeah? The material is
the
material.
Rubber.
Let me ask you a question.
No,
it's not true.
Or
that's what makes the difference. That's exactly what makes
the
difference.
Exactly, it's a point of separation.
The nuance of the material is what makes the difference.
Say it like this, like we said before, what's more of a car? A Fiesta or a Bugatti?
Same.
They're a car.
The car.
A car's a car. It's got four wheels. It's got a steering wheel. It's got a seat you sit in. It's got a door you open. It's got a front windscreen. There's certain things that it needs to have to be a car. Once it's a car, it's a car. Now, within the kingdom of car, you've got a huge spectrum of different kinds of cars, yeah? But they could all be summarized, categorized into as a car, yeah? This is the inyan of the Olam HaAsiya. The Olam HaAsiya is the material. It's to do with the material. So everything appears to be different. So you've got a Ford Fiesta, you've got a Kia Carnival, and you've got a Ferrari, whatever. Yeah? They're all cars made of different things. Yeah? But they're all cars. Now, compare that to a boat. Now we've got a very different thing on our hands. We've got a boat and a car. They're two separate things. One's a boat, one's a car. Yeah? But they're both
vehicles.
They're both vehicles. Exactly. They're both transport. They're both vehicles. However, let's call them vehicles of transport, yeah? Oh, now all of a sudden we're throwing in an aeroplane, we're throwing in a helicopter, we're throwing in a hovercraft, we're throwing in v'chule, yeah? What's more of a transport vehicle? The Airbus 380, or my little tustus? What's more of a vehicle?
Depends.
More up. Depends how you say it. What's more of a vehicle?
Yeah. But you realize we've equated all of that kingdom. We've actually grouped everything conceptually. So once you strip away the materials from the Bugatti and from the Fiesta, that takes you now to the world of Yetzira, the concept of the car. It's a concept. Yeah? You with me? If you want to talk about transport, we could throw in horses as well if you want, yeah? What's the description that covers everything? You realize that we took a car and then we went back from a car to a vehicle. Then
creation.
Huh?
Creation. Everything's a creation.
It just is. It is. That's Bria. That's Yeshma Ayin. That's when it comes. So you have,
and that's the state of Kiyam or not Kiyam.
That's the Kiyam. The Kiyam comes from that level of Bria. Now the Tsura,
before Kiyam.
What?
Isn't Bria even before Kiyam? It's just the concept in existence.
It's Yeshma Ayin. Bria is Yeshma Ayin.
Is Yeshma Ayin?
Yeshma Ayin. Tsiris is Ayin. So Bria is Yeshma Ayin. So, but there's infinite Madregas of these worlds. Don't forget, there's infinite Madregas. So we're just talking just very bichlal, yeah? So its initial isness comes when in Atzilus this car isn't. Yeah? The it's not the concept of the car that exists in Bria, but you can't say it, you with me? It's not yet a car, it just is. But at that level, it's the same as a horse, it's the same as my feet. It's the same as everything. It just, like, on that level, it just is. Everything just is.
Conceptual.
Conceptual.
Well, the conceptual part comes now in Yetzirah, where it gets given a form from Loshen Yetzer. It gets given some kind of form. Now it's a car. But at that level, there's just the concept of a car. But again, there's Madregas, because you've got cars with three wheels and cars with four wheels. We're keeping it simple, yeah? You with me? The final level is when it comes down into this world. It takes on mamashus, which is material. Now you have an endless plethora of cars. Yeah? So this is a very helpful way of seeing reality, where things all boil down to that binary level of it just is. Okay? So that was all just to understand it. So you've got the kiyum of the thing, and then you've got the chiyus of the thing. Yeah? And you understand they're completely different, they're just different things. It's chai v'kayam. Yeah? We say it all the time. Yeah? So everything exists, and everything exists in the same way, which is really from Lashon Makom, the inyan of existence is that it takes up space. Yeah? Even a thought takes up space in your mind, conceptual space, but that's kiyam is Lashon Makom. Yeah? So everything, that's a different thing though. But that's really what kiyam is. So everything exists in the same way. But then everything has an absolutely different life force, and it goes on and on and on. The life goes on and on and on. Yeah. So Bechira, what we saw, if you want to learn the analogy from Kriyas Yamsuf to Bechira, what we saw was that the life force of water, not the kiyum of water, but the life force of water, which you could also call the nature of water, was discontinued by what?
Splitting.
Huh?
By splitting.
But what caused that splitting?
Ruach.
What really caused the Ruach? Ratzon Hashem. When Ratzon Hashem, when there's a steerer between the Chias, the nature of X, and Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem is Mevatel, the nature of X, that's what we call?
Nes.
A nes. That's a nes. That's a nes. Loshon Sneh, backwards, which is also Sinai.
Only in the realm of Asiya, you're saying.
Well, that's where we see the breaking. That's where we see the breaking.
In the world of Yetzirah and Bria, it's all the same.
Maybe in the world of Yetzirah, there'd also be a break, because water is... I don't know what the form of water would be like that. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good question. I don't know. So when there was a steerer between the nature of water and the ruts of Hashem, and Hashem allowed it, that the ruts of Hashem trumped the nature of water, that was Kriyas Yam Suf, that was a nes. Now this is the Alter Rebbe in Shayich Vemuna uses this to give you an amazing insight into Achdus Hashem. And if you take this to heart, it will give you a completely new experience of this world. It really, really would. If you really take this to heart, it gives you a really new experience of this world. So he says like this. He makes a kal v'chomer, yeah? You've learned Shayich Vemuna?
I read it.
You went through, okay, so you probably forgot this, but this is the big thing in Shaykh Lim. He makes a kal v'chomer, yeah? The method that Hashem used to cause Kriyas Yam Suf was he caused the wind to blow all night, yeah? Which means he exercised a constant energy to cause the nature of the water to nullify the nature of the water. To go along with his ratzon. So Luchoy, when he stopped the wind blowing, the Or Chaim actually says it came back like gradually. But just Minastab, when he stopped the wind from blowing, the waters returned to how they were. So he makes a kal v'chomer, just like to be mevatel the nature of something, yeah, which is a much lower level than its actual existence. The chiddush of existence is infinite, from nothing to something. That's infinite, yeah? Once it is, now it's you know, from one to a million, but that's nothing like from zero to one, yeah? So to be mevatel its nature, its chiyus, took a constant energy. So Hashem blew, yeah? That's what the pasuk says. There was an eastern wind that blew and blew and blew, and it caused the sea to split. So to cause the sea to split, which isn't making it vanish, it's not going against its kiyum, it's going against its chiyus. Its nature is to be like this, to be flat, yeah? To be even. So to break its nature, Hashem needed, so to speak, to exert a constant energy.
A constant ratzon.
Okay, let's call it a constant ratzon, yeah? In this case, it disguises a wind, yeah? The minute he released the wind, the minute he stopped the wind, the waters returned. So he says,
"Can't send them back.
Well,
he didn't send the waters back.
He
didn't change the nature of the water.
He back to where
because all the waters in the world actually split at the same time as well. There's lots of nuances, and just try and get the point. Don't let your mind work, just because this is a very important idea to get. Yeah, you can have a million questions if you go like this. So the water is flat. Yeah, the water evens out. That's the nature of water." So Hashem had to exert some kind of energy, constant energy, to cause the nature of the water to be nullified, yeah? When he released that energy, it came back to how it was. So he says, Kol v'choyme, if Hashem needs to, or however you say that he needs, if Hashem needed to exert an energy to break the nature of the water, Kol v'chomer, he needs to be exerting an energy, kol reg v'rega, to cause the thing to exist. With me?
Repeat that.
If the existence is an infinite difference from nothing to something, yeah? And the nature is just an overlaid nature on its existence. And to break that nature, Hashem needed to exert a constant energy to cause the thing to exist.
Infinitely
he
more.
Needs to be constantly causing it to exist. Constant. So this world is... So look at this. If you pick up... I'm gonna throw that. You see this, yeah? Let me ask you. What do you see here? What do you see?
Gravity going down.
What?
Up and down. Gravity.
So really, no. You don't... You can't... Yeah, you also see gravity,
right?
No,
gravity's there.
But you're seeing me. You're seeing my energy. See, what... If you're not seeing a cup. You're not seeing a cup, Bichlal. That's a cup. The nature of a cup is it sits on the table, yeah? This is the opposite of the nature of a cup. I'm throwing it up in the air, yeah? So really, what you're seeing is my energy enclosed in the cup. The cup isn't... The cup completely disappears, if you think about it. All you'll see... Because the cup... That's not what the cup does. That isn't a cup. That's a cup. Yeah, that is my energy enclosed within a cup, being revealed through the cup. Yeah?
Nice.
Plug that into reality.
Nice.
Plug that into reality.
It could be anything. You evolved and you turned it into something else.
You change it from a cup into a throwing item.
No longer doing what a cup is.
As long as I'm going against the nature of the cup, I'm using... But see, I can only go against the nature of the cup. The nature of the cup is to go there. I can't go against the kiyum of the cup. Is that against the kiyum of the cup? No.
Why would you go all the way back to kiyum? What you're essentially saying is you're changing the chiyus.
That's what I'm trying to say. I can't change the kiyum of the cup. I can't. Maybe that's what korbanos is. The burning something up. That would be the offering up of the kiyum. That's why the makom and migdash. That's why the makom is so hoshuv with noiser and with all the not pigor. That's man, but with all the psule korbanos. Pigor is man though. Pigor is not man.
Thinking about doing it the wrong place.
That's
the wrong place or the wrong time.
Yeah, sure. I thought Pig was just a man.
So you're
mavat or the chias, meaning it's chias is to sit there like this. So for this moment,
and changing it into now a throwing item, and changing it, you take that and you cut it, make it into a funnel. You change its chias into something else.
Well, all you're really saying is I'm not doing anything. Is that you can say that as well? If I turn it into a toy, I can be. That's the Indian Amuksa, isn't it?
That's the original chiesto. No longer a cup.
Right now, all you're seeing is me. You're not seeing a cup. You're seeing, because that's not what a cup does. So really, when you conceptualize it, you're seeing me. You're seeing my energy being expressed through the cup. If you're misboiling on this, yeah, it changes the whole world. It changes the reality of the world. You're not seeing a world. What's the nature of the world?
Hashem's energy.
No. The nature of the world is to not exist. It's like a chutzpah in a godly sense that this world is. Hashem's court, like a chutzpah is like, and with all respect to the bonus show, I'm saying it just to get the point across, yeah? But a chutzpah is when you do something against someone's ratzon. That's what a chutzpah is. What a chutzpah? I can't believe you said that to me. I can't do that. I can't believe you did that to me. That's a chutzpah, yeah? Chutzpah is when you go against the ratzon of the other. So this whole world is a tremendous chutzpah, because the ratzon of this world is to just not be. And Hashem is forcing it to be kol rega v'rega. So you look at this world, so here you see the cup, so it's just a moshul, because this is just the chias being broken, but not the kiyum. Whereas in the world, the kiyum of everything is the rots and Hashem being shofeir into it, kol rega v'rega.
And something used for its intended purpose, you're not bringing its chias. You're throwing a ball up and down. It's doing its chias. You haven't changed anything.
No, you're breaking his nature. The nature of a ball is like a cup to sit there. When I kick the ball up in the air...
You drink from a cup, you're still changing its chias. because it's not intended to be moved.
The thing is, we could go on forever with like talking about how it works in which context, or whatever. The
difference is Kiyam shouldn't. I mean, things that have Kiyam right now shouldn't exist. That's the natural state of things. It shouldn't exist.
Everything should not exist. The reason why everything exists is because Hashem is causing it to exist mamash, and we see that it's a kal v'chomer from Kriyas Yamsuf, from an ace, from Kriyas Yamsuf.
And mace seems like, wow, but really that's just yesh miyesh.
Exactly, that's the point. Yesh miyesh. It's you get, it's very, this keeping this in mind very deeply, this union of Kiyam and Chiyas is the same thing as Etzem and Shem. The essence of something and its name, its expression, yeah. And one of the things I think that you get from davening nates, yeah, which I feel that this is one of the bonuses of nates, is that what's more real, yeah. Again, it's all moshul. What's more real, the light and dark, or the numbers on your watch?
Numbers are more
real. What's
more
real?
They're the same.
What? Numbers are the light and dark. Is you change the, you go to summertime and wintertime, the clocks change, yeah?
Right.
So all it is if you think about, again, because this is how we need to think about everything, really, is you've got the essence, yeah? Now you put your shtick on it. That's Nate's. Gets you connected to the essence, which is light and dark.
When it is,
so it's like no one helps this. Yeah, when the clocks change, if you're a Nate stuff in a year, when the clocks change, the night the clocks change, it makes no difference to you. Think about it. It's just like you went to bed at, so you're thinking you went to bed at 9 o'clock. Nate's was 4 o'clock. Now it's 3 o'clock, or now it's 5 o'clock. Whatever it is, yeah. But because all the numbers changed. You still went to bed when you went to bed, and you woke up after that. It's just to do with the light and the dark, yeah? So it's funny. So but if you're a Nate Stavner, the night the clocks change makes zero difference to you whatsoever. The rest of the world are like either crying or laughing or jumping around in love. Yeah. The next day, however, it makes a big difference to you. Because now you've got sucked back into the numbers, whereas everybody else. Well, so now you have to change everything. It mamash really changes you, yeah. Whereas the other person who doesn't double nates, the next day it's back to normal, yeah. You just absorb the hour. You know what I'm saying? So it's again seeing that it's all about the shtick that we're putting on everything. It's all about the shtick that we're putting on everything. Like we spoke about the eye. You've got the iris and you've got the pupil. Yeah, you've got the person. And then you've got the name. That's like the Kiyam and the Chiyas. When you've got a kid who's not behaving, yeah, you have to mamash deeply root yourself in their Kiyam. That's the key. When you've got a difficult marriage, yeah, you have to deeply root yourself in the binary nature of the marriage. Marriage is, you're either married or you're not married. We've said this before, there's no madregas in marriage. You're not more married after 60 years than you were after you said Hayat Mekudeshesli, or then the morning after, whatever it is, yeah? There's no madregas in the Metzias of marriage, in the Kiyam of marriage, in the Chiyas of marriage. There's no comparison between a healthy marriage of 60 years and a healthy marriage of 6 months. Incomparable. But when a marriage is difficult, yeah, now the only way to deal with it is to root yourself back in the Kiyam, and also in yourself as well. When you're not behaving yourself, if you're doing things that the chias is off, take yourself back to that part of you that is pristine. It's just binary. It just is. And now we can start to rebuild ourselves from that place. But this is like a klal gadol in just being able to navigate your way through Olam Hazeh. Just to always remember that there's this, everything has this binary. If you boil things down deep enough, you'll get back to its binary nature, and the experience again is in the chias, is in the shame. But a lot of the time, the chias and the shame is going to be difficult and not aligned with what you want. And in those cases, you can take yourself back to the kiyam, and that will give you. I mean, usually, it fixes the chias as well, but that will at least give you the power to stand strong. So to go back, That was the inyan of the sea being given Bechira. That's why Rashi was madamit to the listing. The sea became a Baal Bechira, meaning that the nature of the sea got put to the side because of Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem flowed through. Ratzon Hashem trumped the nature of the sea. That's called Bechira Chofshis. Not when you chose to do the mitzvah because of whatever cheshbon you had, yeah. But the neshama chose to do the mitzvah because the neshama saw itself in the mitzvah, and that's the exact same thing as the exact same phenomena as Mesiras Nefesh, and also tshuva. Tshuva, Bechir Chofshis, and Mesiras Nefesh are all the exact same thing, just in different. Circumstances, the exact same phenomena. What's the phenomena of Mesiras Nefesh?
Doing something that doesn't make any sense.
Aligning
yourself
with Ratzon Hashem.
I would say going against Ratzon Hashem for a purpose. Like I'd say, not doing a mitzvah to give someone else to do something else for somebody else, where you're putting your own personal mitzvah or chiyuv.
That wouldn't be Mesiras Nefesh.
Because you're going.
Well, let's just.
Our nature is to do the mitzvah.
Our nature is to stay alive. Our nature is to stay alive.
This is
just to die.
Against the mitzvah,
nature.
Having a calculation of bringing up another yid or going down to bring someone up, or that would be
okay. So
which
okay,
is
okay. Give me
the
so
exactly.
Going back to
Kiel.
Is what
going back
to
Kiel
versus
your
want to stay alive.
So yes, that's a really amazing way of saying it.
I've
never heard it said. That's exactly it. I'll give you a good example of what isn't called Mesiras Nefesh. Yeah, is what the Meshiganas did, the Meshoyim did on October 7th. There was not one man who was Moisa Nefesh that day. Yeah, from their side, because Mesiras Nefesh, the Mesiras Nefesh that the Tanya talks about, is not Shaykh to the Umasoyim. Not shaykh to them.
And before they're a cheshbon.
That's the exactly when a person decides to give up their life because it makes sense to give up their life. Like there's the guy who's put his everything into the whales, and now that you know you've got the little Japanese guy with the harpoon, and he throws himself in front of Minky the whale. He gives up his life. Why? Because he had identified with his cause, and it made sense now that you could further your cause, which is your life, if you want to say that, by giving up your life. That's not Mesiras Nefesh. And that's why the Tanya gives the example of a Kal Shebakal, of a secular Jew giving up his life when a Russia comes up to him and says, "You're God all your life. Not your religion or your life." Because if the Tanya had given you, like, say, for example, Rabbi Akiva, yeah? Now, you could think, not that Rabbi Akiva didn't give his life up, what wasn't Moshe Nefesh, but you could have thought that Rabbi Akiva said in his mind when the Romans were like, you're gonna keep teaching, you're going to die, he would be like, you could think in your mind where he was like, well, look, all I do is learn Torah all day long. Like, what would my life be without learning Torah? I suppose you might as well just take my life. What would my life be without Torah? Yeah, that isn't Mesiras Nefesh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. That's an intelligent decision. That's a high level for a human being. If the cause is a good cause, that's a very high level for a human being. That's the highest level a human being can get to, if the cause is a good cause. Yeah? But that's not Jewish Mesiras Nefesh. Jewish Mesiras Nefesh is the exact same inyan, where you could have a cheshbon, you could come up with yes or no to give up your life. And probably, if you're a good yid and you're doing the right thing, you would make an intelligent decision also to give up your life. The guy puts a gun to your head and says, either you bow to the idol or you could be thinking a lot of things there, yeah? But the Mesiras Nefesh, the actual Mesiras Nefesh, is when the Nefesh of Bahamas, the nature, gets shoved to the side, and the Nefesh of the Kis, the Ratzon Hashem, shines through. So it could be, and it should be, if you're doing the right work, that your human side is making a good cheshbon. But that's still not Mesiras Nefesh. That's exactly the same as Bechira. You see, it's the exact same thing. You with me? And that's the same as Tshuva. Tshuva is again the exact same thing. See, tshuva is not, yeah, a guy says something very nasty to his wife. She runs off crying and slams the door, yeah? And he's sitting in the kitchen. He's like this. I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe what I've become. He's thinking back and he's like, you know, I was such a Balmidas when I was shkoyach. I was such a Balmidas when I was younger. And I can't believe the level that I've fallen to. And I could be so much greater than this. I could be so much. I should be so much more. I can't believe that. Yeah, that is the set. Again, it's a Madrega. Yeah, it's definitely better than what most of us would do. But that is the same inyan as the mind. The real tshuva is when your wife's reality all of a sudden presents itself to you and you're broken. That out of nowhere your wife became real. I mean, she wasn't real to you when you said that horrible thing to her, for sure, yeah? If she was real to you, you wouldn't have said that. She runs out, she slams the door, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden your wife, her reality presents itself to you. And you have harata for what she's having to experience. That's tshuva. Mitzad your wife. Mitzad Hashem, it's the inyan of, so to speak, again, Hashem presenting himself to you in a way that's real, where you don't go, oi, I can't believe what a bad Jew I am. You're just, all your mind is at, is your mind is overwhelmed by the Rabbeinu Shloimeh. And that's real tshuva.
Yes. Maybe not on the topic, but what if you don't feel like that? What do you do now?
Wait, 1 second. Okay, that's an important question. But I just finish off the thought. Now you see how Mesiras Nefesh, Bechir Chofshis, and Tshuva are the same inyan. It's the same inyan mamash. You see that? Everyone sees that? Same inyan mamash. Just when you're in the 7-Eleven in Manchester, and you pick up the chicken sandwich, that same phenomena manifests as Bechir Chofshis. Yeah? When the Russia has a gun to your head and says...
Even though you're married to a shiksa.
Yeah. Huh?
Even though you're married to a shiksa, and he said, die or
it's
or
the same thing. Says, it's, okay, in I'll that die. Case, the same phenomena is called Mesiras Nefesh. And on Yom Kippur, when you're standing there, and all of a sudden, you're just like, this has got to change. Not because I'm a Russia, but just, this isn't, I don't even know, this isn't right. This isn't right. I'm not behaving correctly. I owe you, I, this just isn't right. That's called tshuva. Again, it's the same phenomenon, just presenting itself to you in different circumstances. And it's the same tools, connecting yourself back to this inyan is the same. It's the same, so to speak, tool. It's a perspective. It's a paradigm. It's a way of seeing reality. It helps you deal with everything, literally with everything. When you boil everything down to, when you realize that everything has, it's metzias, it's kiyum, yeah, it's etzer, and then it has its expression, which is its chiyus, and you can make sure that in as much as possible you're connected to the essence. You can weather all of the fluctuations in the world of Asiya and Mitzira. You know? So just to ask your question, if you don't feel anything...
Yeah, we don't feel that. I mean, you don't have the Chir Chavshis to choose correctly, or is that...
So the answer is, if a person was nasty to his wife and he doesn't feel that he's like so bad, yeah, like Kovachov, if he doesn't think about his wife, if he doesn't feel that he's so bad, the H of the Tanya is to think that, to realize where you've fallen to, because you can't generate so much, and if you can't generate at all, the mitzias of the other, that just kind of shines through when you shut up. That's the whole thing, is when you can shut up. Yeah, when you can still the noise inside you, then that's when the reality kind of shines through, and then it kind of takes place for itself. So that's when your wife's reality will shine through, when there can be some kind of quiet. But when the whole thing's a cheshbon, and I think this is my thoughts, is that, see, the Rebbe says, in regards to the phenomenon of Mesiras Nefesh, he says, Ala Roiv, the majority of people, majority of Yidden will give up their life when put in this situation. Why would it be Ala Roiv? Why not every Jew? And he's put in this what's it called? Do or die, dichotomy, ultimatum. He's given the ultimatum, either give up your life or die. Either give up your life or bow to the idol, yeah? Why doesn't every Jew? Why does he say Ala Roiv? He definitely says Ala Roiv, the majority. In the majority of cases. What could prevent that from taking place? And it's amazing because Ala Roiv, people want to live. But there's a myriad of people who want to commit suicide. The exact same Indian mamash, just the moshul. This is the moshul. Ala Roiv, everybody wants to live. Whenever I say everyone wants to live, yeah, always somebody says, yeah, what about suicide? Obviously, yeah, but there's a myriad of people who want to kill themselves. But Ala Roiv, everyone wants to live. So what accounts for wanting to die? What accounts, let's not say suicide, what accounts for not wanting to live? So what I understand is there's two things. One is real and one is common. If somebody's in actual pain, like chronic pain, yeah, I've had like, you know, days or weeks where I've had chronic pain, but some people have chronic pain, like crazy chronic pain for, you know, years. That can take away your will to live. If the pain is so intense over an over a consistent amount of time, that can actually kind of, so to speak, the pain can trump the pleasure of living. Because really your will to live is your pleasure. Living is a pleasure. That's a whole schmooze in itself. But that's really your will to live is actually not a will to live. It's your desire for pleasure. It's your nefesh hashbamis desire for pleasure that expresses itself as a will to live. So if the pain is so intense and so consistent for a long enough amount of time, then that's quite rare. That's very rare. Yeah. What's much more common is the koyach machshava clouds the sky. So the person's rotzon to live is the sun, and because their machshavas have become so intense and so negative, it's like Manchester for like 360 days of the year, where you don't even know there's a sun, yeah? Thick cloud cover. You don't see the sun at all. That is a very common cause for not wanting to live any longer. Not that the sun went anywhere, not that your desire to live has gone, it's just been completely clouded over by very, very thick machshavas. And that's why in our generation, there's so much more suicide than there ever was, because the machshava, the levush of machshava, especially in the developed countries, like the rate of suicide in America and the developed countries, compared to, you know, the third world countries and stuff is completely incomparable.
Right? Share you gave 2 weeks ago about trauma, and then
the what?
Two weeks ago, you gave a share. You spoke about trauma, and then the
what you
the
do with
reality
it.
In which
what you do with it afterwards. So this is, everyone lives in this world. This world of very few people have worked out what their koach machshava is. Your ability to think. Very few people realize that they think, as opposed to that they are thinking. Most people think they are thinking. So when a person has a suicidal thought, all of a sudden they're like, I'm suicidal. Whereas if you understand how it works, you're standing on the edge of a cliff, yeah? And your mind is one of these minds that just like puts stuff together. Yeah, you might just think about, well, what would it look like if I jumped off? Or like, your mind just might go there. It's not suicidal thoughts. That's just having a thought. That's just having a thought. If you want to call it a suicidal thought, okay, you can. But it's not. That's not you. That's just how your mind works. When you see a cliff, you think about jumping off. Just like when you see a ladder, you think about climbing it. When you see a button, like I do, you think about pressing it. Yeah, that's.
You see what?
They'll lose their jobs. That's the thing. Like I have like a, my kids as well. I have a tie over that when I see the fingerprint thing, I always do. You know, just That's what I do.
I think there's a mikvah on the other side.
It's just the, again, it's like this is when you can when you realize that thinking is as well, it's a lavouche. It's a lavouche. It's not you. Once you get that really clear in your mind, then it, you get you become so powerful. You become so is that's already enlightened. That's a level of enlightenment. So most people are so overwhelmed and identified with their thinking that there's no sun anymore. You don't see a sun because it's just full of the clouds of the thinking. It's just full of clouds. So now this is, I told you a story about the Golden Gate Bridge. No? I told you, I said it?
Golden Gate Bridge. The guy who built it?
No, about the guy jumping off it.
Oh.
Wait, is that a story I tell many times? It proves the point beautifully. Apparently, the Golden Gate Bridge is apparently 30 stories high, yeah? And the chances of living, if a person jumps off it, are 1%. Yeah? But there's like 2,000 people who've thrown themselves off of it, and 1%, so there's 20 people, and there's a few of them in the world right now who've lived, yeah? And apparently they've got like a WhatsApp group. And I'm not joking, they've got groups with each other, yeah? And you can go online and check out Living Off Jump Off the Golden Gate Bridge. It proves the point, it beautifully proves the point, yeah? It's so powerful, this story. So this guy is giving an interview, he's saying everyone felt like this as well. The guy's talking about what he did. He was talking about he was on the bus. It was all crazy. He hated his life. He's thinking this, thinking that, yeah? He gets off the bus and he goes for it. He starts running, yeah? He runs and all he wants to do is end it, yeah? He, like, leapfrogs over the barrier, over the girder, yeah? And he said, as his hands left the barrier, he was like, oh, man. He said he was hit with ultimate charata. And he just did deep tune for like 3 seconds. And bang, he really hurt himself as well. But he just did deep tune for like 3 seconds because as his hands left the railing, what happened? Because of the sheer terror, for the first time in years, his koach machshava, his ability to think got discontinued. And it was like a sky full of clouds and just like whoosh, no clouds, and all there was is his will to live. He's like, oh, bang. That's the Alaroiv. That's why it's only Alaroiv, the majority of Yidden. And that's why I think in this generation that it might not be like that anymore. It might be more than Alaroiv. Why? Sorry, it might be less than Alaroiv. Because I was just thinking like this. It wouldn't surprise me, yeah? I mean, you wouldn't find this out. It wouldn't surprise me if that guy now, jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, is thinking, as he's flying down, I hope someone's got this on camera. This will go viral. You can imagine such a thing. I saw this. I saw a film.
This is white sugar. What? This is white sugar.
So you imagine he would think that?
That wouldn't surprise you if something.
Sure, would surprise you.
It would surprise you.
If someone thought like that, would never jump.
As he's jumping, he wants to kill himself. But as he's jumping, I would still think most people. People. I'm saying in our generation, because we've become so machshavadik, so caught up in our machshavas. You wouldn't be surprised if you heard such a story.
This is why tshuva, there's no mitzvah to do tshuva. According to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv to do tshuva. If you want to do tshuva, there's a mitzvah how to do it. You do vidur, etc. The Rebbe learns there's no mitzvah to do tshuva, because if there were a mitzvah to do tshuva, then you'd have the cheshbon. Why to do tshuva? Because you want to do a mitzvah.
I never heard that. I hear that.
If there were a mitzvah to do tshuva, it would preclude the ability to do tshuva properly.
Meaning it would be your cheshbon, you would have chosen
tshuva. Yes, and then you would be doing tshuva.
But there is the mitzvahs of vidur. I mean, he does count. He counts chuvah as well.
There's no mitzvah
to do
chuvah. But so this is the inyan of Mesiras Nefesh, meaning that it's when the thinking, which is the cheshbon, which has been there, when that gets discontinued. And the Nefesh Elokis itself shines, yeah, because it feels threatened in whatever way it feels threatened. And that is called Mesiras Nefesh. And that can't exist by the Umos HaOlam because they don't have. They can have their. They can have the thinking process discontinued, but they don't have the neshama that then shines through with the ratzon neshama. That's an amazing. That is the big difference between umos ha'olam and am yisrael. Not the big difference. That is the difference. That the avoider of the umos ha'olam said this again, but we'll finish on this because it's just a very important thing to chazar to do to chazar. Is the avoider of the umos ha'olam is to use their intellect to extrapolate from their own metzias to the metzias of other human beings. And that will give kiyum to the oilam. That's why they call the umos ha'olam, because they are the ones that create the world. They're the ones that give us the world. So the world can only exist with the golden rule, which is what is hateful to yourself, don't do to the other, which is what Hillel said. The first words of that statement is da'alayich, you. So use your mind, use your intellect to appreciate the fact that you're a manda ama, yeah, that you're a metzias, that you're a person. Now extrapolate from that and appreciate that everybody else is also a person. So don't do to that person what you don't like done to yourself. And if you're really clever, yeah, if you've got a really good head, you'll be able to get to levels of like Gandhi and Stephen Covey, and you'll be a really good guy. And you'll look at people and you'll think, how can I help you? What can I do? You're more real than me. You'll give
but
up your chair. All mitzad cheshbon. All mitzad intellect. So you see that the great people of the umos ha'olam, nearly without exception, are extremely intelligent, because they're using these people like Gandhi and Covey and these very great, Tony Robbins, yeah? He's also a great guy, yeah? They've got very, very powerful intellects, and they have extrapolated so deeply that they've gotten to the point where it's now just, I'll give up my seat for you because you're more real to me than I am to myself. Yeah? That is the avoider of the human being in this world. And think about it, if all the humans in this world were living according to that...
Nice place.
It'd be paradise. It would be in Gan Eden mamash. All everyone's thinking is, what's hateful to me, I'm not going to do to you. That's called Kiyum Ha'olam. But that's got nothing to do with us. We've got a human element, but the thing is, this is the difference, is the human element of the umos ha'olam and the human element of Am Yisrael is the difference between a kosher piece of meat and a chafe piece of meat. Which sounds like, well, that's a big difference, but it isn't. Because if you hold up two pieces of meat, one that is kosher, one that's chafe, you don't know which one's kosher, which one's chafe. They taste the same, they look the same, etc. They feel the same, etc., etc. So that's the exact same thing. What's the difference? Is the difference between Klipas Noga and Klipas Timaeus. Yeah, the lower Klipa, the darker Klipa, and Klipas Noga, the shining Klipa, which means that the treif steak, which is the nefesh of the umos ha'olam, yeah, that doesn't have the ability naturally to appreciate the metzias of another person. Naturally, that being, a human being, naturally, and all the psychologists will give you proof after proof for this, but naturally, a human being doesn't appreciate the reality of another. It's only with intellect. Only with intellect, yeah? Or with upbringing, which would be your father's intellect, something could be also like that. The Jew, his natural state, his natural humanity, is predicated on Klipas Noiga, which is the ability, which has good in it, which means the ability to appreciate the metzias of another. So the natural state of Yisrael, is to appreciate the metzias of another. That's why if you look at the amount of tzedakah that Yidden give, secular Yidden, all Yidden give, compared to the umos ha'olam, it's completely out of proportion, completely not kashur. Completely, why? And what are the three qualities that we describe a yid as being? Baishanim, Gomer Hasadim, Rahmanim. All of those three inyanim are the inyan of appreciating another person. You're embarrassed, why? Because you're real. Only a mechutzu who doesn't think you're real can do whatever he wants in front of you. Gemilas Hasadim, yeah? And Rahmanis, same thing. So what's the avoid of a yid? Instead of, I think, what we've just been saying, the avoid of the yid is to use your neshama to come to appreciate the Metzias of the Rebbeinu Shlomo more than your own Metzias. That's our Avoida. To use your Neshama, the Avoida of a human being, is to use his intellect to appreciate the reality of another human being over his own reality. The Avoida of the Jew is to use his Neshama to appreciate the reality of the Rebbeinu Shlomo over his own reality. That's the two roles of the human beings in this world. You have Yisrael and you have the Umas HaOlam. And that's the difference between us. The Umas HaOlam are here to create a world, to give kiyum to a world, and Yisrael are there to stick that world to God, or to bring God into this world. They create the world, and we misdabate the world to its boire. They because of them there's a Bria, and because of us, the Bria and the boire can be merged to each other. But without them, there would be no Bria to merge with the boire. Okay.